The first reading is taken from Malachi 4, verses 1 to 2a, on page 962 of the Pew Bibles, the day of the Lord. Surely the day is coming, it will burn like a furnace. All the ignorant and every evildoer will be stubble, and the day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will heal with healing in its rays. And the second reading is taken from Luke 21, verses 5 to 19, which is found on page 1059 of the Church Pew Bibles, Signs of the End of the Age. Some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, "As for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down." "Teacher," they asked, "when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to take place?" He replied, "Watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am he, and the time is near.' Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and uprisings, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will seize you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and put you in prison, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. And so you will bear testimony to me. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves, for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers and sisters, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. Stand firm, and you will win life." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Judy. Just welcome up John to come and speak to us. Lord, we just thank you for the words you put on John's heart, and we look to be enlightened by the message you have for us this morning. Amen.
Amen. Are you ready? President Trump, Vladimir Putin, and Prime Minister Starmer had a summit meeting. And God turned up to give them one piece of news. The world ends on Wednesday. President Putin proclaimed from the Kremlin, "I have two pieces of dreadful news. Firstly, there is a God. Secondly, the world ends on Wednesday." Keir Starmer proclaimed in the Commons, "I have good news and I have bad news. There is a God and the world ends on Wednesday." President Trump, on his way home, opened the curtain in Air Force One and spoke to the press. "I have two pieces of wonderful news. Firstly, I have been considered worthy of a personal interview with no other than God himself. The other piece of wonderful news is I have his assurance that I will be president till the end of time." Well, I had to lighten the tone because these two readings are a little bit, well, aren't they? Talking about the future and problems, issues coming up. You're going to be persecuted. Don't worry, but life's going to be really hard in the future, Jesus said to his disciples. And Malachi, looking forward to wonderful things, but oh, life's going to be tough. So why have we got those readings today? Well, It's because of the place we are in the church's year, which is sort of circular, isn't it? You know, we start with Advent, 2 weeks' time, Christmas, Jesus' ministry, his passion, death, resurrection, ascension, and Pentecost, and then all the Sundays of Trinity, building up to next week, which is Christ the King, and we celebrate that after all of this, and all that Jesus has achieved for us, he is on the throne of the kingdom of heaven to be glorified. And we glorify him, don't we? Every week, because every Sunday is a remembrance of Easter, and also a reminder that Christ is in the kingdom of heaven, and we are actually members of the kingdom of heaven with him. That's next week. So this is our last opportunity in this church's year to think about the end of the world as we know it. And that's what we've got in our readings today. But notice that Jesus doesn't say it's going to happen now. He says, be careful, it's not going to happen now, doesn't he? But that was then. Could it be now? Should we be ready for that? And the message, actually, of both readings is, it's coming, be ready. Yes? Which is why I said at the beginning, are we ready? Jesus says it's not happening now for a very good reason. And that is, there's the disciples walking with Jesus near the temple, and they look at the wonderful building that took 46 years to build. And they say, isn't this wonderful, Lord? This place that's been built to the glory of God? And his mind is on the days to come, on his death and resurrection and eternity. And he says, the day is coming when there'll not be one stone on another. Why does he say that? Well, I think he's got a number of reasons, just like Malachi had a number of reasons for saying what he said. Because quite often in the Bible, what you get is something that's said for several reasons and not just one. You can take them in several ways. And sure enough, the Christian church and the Jewish faith have come to two different conclusions. Malachi says the day is coming when God will send somebody and life will get better eventually. That could mean that within Malachi's generation, 400 years before Jesus, the next person in the long line of God's prophets would arrive who would help out. Or it could mean that when the time is right, and it wouldn't say when, God's Messiah, the promised one, the Savior, would arrive. And we know that that's what he meant. It could mean that Malachi is looking towards the end of the world. The answer is, it's all three. But the Jews didn't see that this would be the Messiah who would come in Jesus. Whereas Malachi says in the last chapter that he would be sending Elijah again, and we know that John the Spirit came in the spirit of Elijah, welcoming Jesus. What Jesus is saying in our passage today is that the temple wouldn't have one stone on another before long. When would that happen? Well, first of all, it would happen, in one sense, in Jesus on the cross, because he would be killed, but 3 days later he would rise. And in him is God Almighty. Therefore, he is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I think he's actually saying, watch out. All of this will come crashing down. Everything that you have faith in, and you might have faith in the building, but don't, have faith in me instead. But even I will come crashing down in a few days' time. But also, he could have meant, and I believe he did, this took 46 years to build, and only in another 40 years or so, it's going to be on its side. Because in AD 70, Jerusalem was ransacked under Nero. So it would all happen. They didn't believe it possibly could. And then, of course, after that, the Jewish nation suffered terribly in various revolts, and he told them, this will happen to you. He could have meant, and I believe he did, that in the first generation of Christian life, those people that he were talking to, the apostles, the disciples, would be persecuted and some would be killed. And it happened, of course, as we know. He could have meant, and I believe he did, that all Christians from then on would be persecuted. And we are. There are more persecutions now than there were in those days. There have been more martyrs in the 21st century than there were in the first century. And persecution will continue. He could have meant, and I believe he did, that the end of the world is coming, but he said not yet. But that was not yet then. Is it yet now? We don't know. But the task is to be ready, isn't it? Jesus often says, be ready, like those wise and foolish virgins, some of whom had oil for their light. Talking about light, got a little parable for you. But remember that five of those were wise and five were otherwise. They should have had their light lit so that they would always stay lit. Always be ready. Always expect Jesus to be present in your life and in the life of others. But if we are always ready, and I'm ready, if the world ended today, I know I'm okay. But I've still got planning and actions to do. Why? To bring other people into the kingdom. That's my job. But also there's lots and lots of things we can do to prepare for the kingdom. And we should be doing planning. But what about that parable about light? Supposing I said to you, I have a prophecy for you. The lights are going to go out in Mark's Day Church. What would you think I meant? Bearing in mind what Malachi and Jesus did, they spoke things with several meanings. I could mean, can somebody please nip and go and put a shilling in the meter? Now. I could mean something that I tell you will happen, and it'll happen today. The last one out will turn these lights out on the way home. Obvious, isn't it? But I could mean the state of the world with climate change and the economy would mean that we won't have enough energy in this country to keep the lights on in Mark's Day Church or anywhere else. I could mean that the end of the world is coming, but it can't mean that because it'll be so light by the glory of God that we'll all not lead a light on in church. So things have several meanings. But be ready for whatever that meaning is. But because I haven't told you which it is, you better be ready for anything. And that's the message from Jesus, isn't it? Always be ready for whatever he would want you to do in the future. But if you're ready, there's no need to plan, is there? Should we keep on planning? Or should we just live day by day, knowing that we're ready for the end of the world whenever it happens? No, keep planning. Plan like there's no tomorrow. But keep working like there's no tomorrow. Keep going. Have I got a scriptural warrant for saying keep planning rather than just be ready? Yes, I have. And the answer, the scripture is the whole of the Bible. Because from Genesis, as soon as man sinned, God had plans for sending Jesus and for redeeming all of mankind. Throughout the Bible, we have prophets saying, this is going to happen, and prepare for that, prepare for that. Even in Malachi, this is going to happen, be ready, start making your plans and do it. Jesus was making plans day by day. And now the Holy Spirit has a plan for your life and mine, as we know. What is his plan for your life? Well, it could mean several things. Like Malachi, like the lights in the church, like Jesus. But whatever it means, which we may never understand until we're fully in the kingdom, can I just say, make plans, but only make plans for things which have an internal impact. What do I mean by that? What plans are you making for Christmas, for anything else? Make sure you're only planning for things that have an eternal significance, because that's what God does. However, have you made plans for Christmas dinner? Have you made plans for friends to come round? Look at those things with an eternal significance. Why am I doing this? Because I love these people and I want to love them into the kingdom. I want to celebrate all the goodness that God's put in my mind and heart and body with all the good things of Christmas. I want to celebrate Christmas. I'm making plans because I want to honour God in all that I do. So there we are. Two things. Make sure my plans are the plans God would make for my life and that every plan has an eternal significance. And secondly, are you ready? Amen.